your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John, first chapter. Mr. Schofield Bible, page 1321. Beginning with verse 5, we'll read through the 10th verse. The text verses are the verses 7 through 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, page 1321. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read these verses responsively. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. Around the world, it's been called Easter Sunday. For us, it's been wonderful in that we get to come to this place Sunday after Sunday. We get to come and make every Sunday a special day, a special occasion. It's because of thy word, and because it's preached here, and because lives are changed here, because thou art here present with us every service. We thank thee for that, and we thank you for meeting with us once again. And we surely will be glad and praise thee for another demonstration of thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I want to be very clear tonight as I speak, and I do not have the time that I normally would have. So I pray you'd help me to be alert to you, and the people to be alert to me as you speak through me tonight. Help us as we leave this building to be right with God. Amen. I'm speaking on the subject tonight, how to be right with God. You hear an awful lot of talk. Get right with God. Get right with God. And I guess our people come down the aisle and they kneel at the altar and they fill out a slip and they'll say, I want to get right with God. But the truth is, I doubt very seriously if any or many or any of us know exactly what it means to get right with God. You will not leave the service tonight saying I'm a great preacher. I do not think you'll leave the service tonight saying that I preached a great sermon. I believe you will leave the service tonight knowing what it means to be right with God. So follow me carefully. I'm about 15 minutes behind the normal schedule of when I begin to preach, and I promise you I'm going to cut some of the sermon as far as the time is concerned. Suppose for a moment I'm taking a trip. Now there are three things that I've got to do to make that trip a successful trip. You see, I'm supposed to get from here, point A, to point B. And I want to get there successfully. Now there are three things I'm supposed to do. Number one, if I'm traveling by car, for example, I must not interfere with the other cars. If I have a successful trip, I must not interfere with the other cars. For if I interfere with the other cars, then I will not only prevent them from successfully arriving at their destination, but I also will prevent myself. So if I interfere with the other cars, it keeps me from arriving at my destination. There's a second thing, listen carefully, that I must do. Not only must I not interfere with the other cars as I drive, but secondly, I must have my own car in good condition. I must be sure that my car is in good shape. I'm trying to go from point A to point B, and I must be sure that my car is in good shape. Number three, I must be sure I'm on the right road. Now, if I have those three things, I'll make it to my destination. If I'm careful not to interfere with other cars, so they will impede my progress and I will impede theirs. If I'm careful, then that's one thing. Secondly, I must be sure that my car is in good condition. And thirdly, I must stay on the road. Now, I'm taking a trip through life. There are three things that I must do to safely arrive at my destination and do the thing that I was supposed to do when God put me here. The first thing is, I must not damage any other people on my journey. Second, I must keep myself right. Third, I must be on the right road. That's God's plan. Now listen carefully. Everything you'll find in this Bible, from the Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:20, everything you'll find in this Bible is about one of those three things. Everything is about either my not interfering with somebody else who's also journeying, and my being right in with my own self, and my doing the plan of God and being right with my God. Everything in the Bible is about that. Now, let me put it another way. I must be right with my fellow man. I must be right with myself, and I must be right with my God. Now again, that's what the whole Bible is about. The whole Bible is about me being right with my fellow man, being right with myself, and then being right with my God. Now, that's one way to put it. But we put it in the wrong order. You see, I said we must be careful to not impede the journey of others. That will cause us to hinder our own journey. I said we must be sure that the car is in good shape. We must be sure we're on the right road. And then I said that applies to this Christian life as we take our journey. I must be sure that I am not hurting others. I must be sure that I am right with myself, and I must be sure that I'm right with my God. But this is the wrong order. For it is not right with others, then right with self, then right with God. It is reverse. I must be right with God, and then right with myself, and then right with others. See, I'm not right with God because I'm right with you. I'm right with you because I'm right with God. You don't get right with God with others and therefore get right with God. You get your heart right with God, and then God helps you get your heart right with others. Everything in the Christian life starts with your relationship with your God. You have got to be right with God. If you're not right with God, you can't be right with your fellow man. If you're not right with God, you can't be right with yourself. I say again, everything in the Christian life depends upon your being right with your God. And from that rightness with God comes that rightness with yourself, and comes then the rightness with other people. All right, now don't leave me. I'm coming to the sermon. Consequently, the entire journey hinges on me first being right with God. For I cannot be right with you unless I'm right with Him. And if I'm not going to hurt your journey and hurt my journey by clashing with you like the car on the road, I must first be sure I'm right with my God. Now ask you a question tonight. Are you right with God? I ask you a question. Are you right with God? Now many of you would answer that question and say, yes, I'm right with God. Others of you would answer and say, no, I'm not right with God. But the truth is, both groups would not know exactly what they're talking about now, but you will in just a few minutes. I want to say, I've got to finish the course that is set before me. I want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. I want to finish my course. Now, if I finish my course, I can't be bumping into you all the time. If I finish my course, I've got to have my own vehicle in good shape. And if I finish my course, I've got to stay on the right road or stay in the plan of God. Now, all of this hinges on me being right with God. All right, then what does it mean to be right with God? Here we go. The word right. What does the word right mean? Look it up in any lexicon you want to choose. And you'll find the word right is the word which means righteous or righteousness. Be righteousness with God or be righteous with God. It means that you are supposed to be righteous, or put it this way. The word is translated just in the Bible. Or justice. What it means? Does it mean you're supposed to be justice with God, and there's supposed to be justice between me and God, or better still, the scales are supposed to be balanced between me and God. Now, so far you're confused. I can tell the way you look. And but now follow me. Let me have you, Brother Johnny, come and stand right here, and we'll act out a little something we do occasionally here. I'm going to be God, and you're going to be Adam in the Garden of Eden. You'll be man.
That means you face like I say face.
All right. Now then, God made Adam, and we had fellowship with each other. I want to say as God, I'm a bit disappointed in this one that I've made. But everybody has an off day. And so, I'm God, and you're Adam, and you're a man. And I'm about as near being God as you are being a man. But anyway, so, I'm God, and you're man. We're in the Garden of Eden, okay? I love you, Adam.
I love you, God.
Oh, that's wonderful. Adam, I'm so glad I made you.
I'm glad you made me, too.
Yeah, I guess you are. I guess you're very glad I made you. And don't we enjoy each other in the Garden of Eden here?
Oh, we certainly
do. We love to fellowship with each other. And here we are in the Garden of Eden, and you walk with me, and I walk with you, and you talk with me, and I talk with you. Isn't that wonderful?
That's tremendous.
But one day something came in the Garden of Eden, and that something is the same something or person that came to you and caused you your trouble too, and caused you your little Garden of Eden to become all messed up too. And that somebody was the devil. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And the devil came, and the devil caused man to sin. When man sinned, he turned his back upon God. Listen to me. And God turned his back upon man. Now then, the relationship between man and God has been broken. Now man and God cannot fellowship with each other. Now the Bible, God had said, the wages of sin is death. God had said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God had said, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. All right? So because of that, he has to die, and of course that includes the second death, which is hell. All right? So there is a debt that must be paid. What is that debt? That debt is death. And so God will not turn around and just forgive him. Are you listening? God will not turn around and just forgive him. God cannot turn around and just forgive him because God's a just God. The price must be paid. The penalty must be paid. And the debt must be paid. That's why baptism can't save you. It doesn't satisfy the justice of God. That's why joining the church can't save you. It doesn't satisfy the justice of God. That's why thousands of people that were confirmed in churches all across America on Easter Sunday who will not come back to that church till next Easter Sunday are not saved by that because it doesn't satisfy the justice of God. That's why when the Pope sprinkled 26 people in Rome, it didn't do one single thing to get them to heaven a bit. That doesn't satisfy the justice of God. Something must satisfy the holiness and the righteousness and justice of Almighty God. Well, what happened? God himself said, I will come to earth in the form of a man. I'll be called Jesus. And I will be born a virgin. And I will live a perfect life. I will never sin. I'll never do wrong. I'll never say what I shouldn't say. I'll never go where I shouldn't go. I'll never do what I shouldn't do. I'll never think what I shouldn't think. And I will fulfill my law. I will not sin. And since I have not sinned, I will not owe the debt. So I will go to Calvary and I will pay the debt so that man's debt is paid. And so Jesus goes to Calvary. And by the way, that's why I say so often, Christ did not die primarily for you. Christ died primarily for God. Christ died so God could take you back. And now that his justice has been satisfied on Calvary, God turns around and God says to man, man, I can take you back now. My justice has been satisfied. And anybody who knows he's a sinner and knows he owes a debt to the justice of God and realizes Jesus paid that debt for him, anybody can be born of the Spirit of God and receive eternal life. You say that's easy believism. You call it what you want to call it. It happens to be in the Bible. So, if you'll turn around and by faith receive me, I'll take you back. Why? Because of the justice of God. Now follow me carefully. Now then, he is right with me positionally. Look at me. Listen to me. He is right with me positionally. See? Why? Because the scale has been balanced. What's the scale here? The scale was balanced in the Garden of Eden. No sin, no debt. No sin, no debt. Scale was balanced. Man sinned. Scale was unbalanced. Jesus died on the cross to balance the scale again. And when a man trusts that,
as his hope for heaven, then the scale is balanced, and that's what it means to be right with God. It means be justice with God. Be righteousness with God. Be righteous with God. Be equal, have the payment made to equal the sin. And once again, man is righteous with God, and he's the scale has once again been balanced. Thank you. Now listen to me. I don't care what you do, brother. The only thing that balances the scale is what Jesus did on the cross. You live your good life. You join whatever church you want to join. You take whatever communion you want to take. You take whatever sacrament you want to take. You can have the priest put ashes on your head on Wednesday and put coals of fire upon your head on Thursday and sprinkle you on Friday and give you the sacraments on Saturday, and you confess your sins to him on Sunday and take Holy Mass on Monday, and you'll die and go to hell unless you put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on Calvary. That's all that balances the scale, and the balancing of the scale is what makes you right with God. Just with God. Justice with God. The scale is balanced. That's what Paul meant when he said in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, "Brethren, my prayer to God and heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they," hear me, "for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Let me paraphrase that. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to earn their way to heaven, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Let me paraphrase that. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to join the church and be baptized, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The only way that a man can be positionally right with God is when he quits trying to establish his own righteousness and throws himself by faith at the mercy of God and receives Christ as his Savior, and then God sees you in Christ, and the scale is balanced, and you are right or just or equal. The scale is balanced, and you then are right with God. Now, I've got to hurry. We go down to something else. There's another balancing. And that's not only your positional balancing, but your conditional balancing. Your conditional balancing. Let me illustrate. Roy Moffitt and I were in Atlanta, Georgia. We went down to get a paper or something at a gift shop. Young man there looked like he was college age. What was the name of that? Hallis. What's the name of Hallis' first name? Hallis Comet. Well, first name. Alec Halley? Okay. So this guy was reading a book. And he was the fellow who ran the little gift shop there. College age kid. A young man. Adult. College age. And kid. But anyway, he looked at me, and before I even said a thing, he said, "You know Alec Halley?" And I said, "Who?" I thought it was somebody lived in Hammond or something, you know. I thought it was somebody I looked like, some movie star or something. And I said, "Alec Halley." "Yeah," he said, "Halley's Comet." I said, "Oh, I know what you're talking about now, Halley's Comet." He said, "Yeah, look at me now, listen to me." He said, the next time that thing is visible, I'll be 90 years of age. And he said, "I'll say, yeah, there it is, right up there. There it is, right up there." I said, "Well, if you don't live to be 90, then where are you going to be?" He said, "I'll probably be a dog or a cat," didn't he? "A dog or a cat. Personally, I plan to be a horse." But anyway, he said, "I'll be a dog or a cat." I said, "What? You believe in reincarnation?" "Oh, no," he said, "I don't believe that." He said, "I'm a Catholic." He said, "I'll be in purgatory probably." I said, "Why?" He said, "To get my sins on earth cleansed." And I said, "What if I could show you how they can be cleansed now?" He said, "What?" He was as eager. He said, "My sins could be cleansed now?" Some false teacher, called father and dressed like a mother, had been telling him a lie, you see. And He said, "My sins can be cleansed now?" Well, you know where I took him, 1 John 1:9. if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us our sins and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the boy was amazed. And right there, he was sweetly and happily saved. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying he got right with God positionally. He accepted God's payment for his sin. Sin, when I walked in there, it was like that. When he accepted God's payment, it was like that. He had, once again, obtained justice with God. And God's justice has been satisfied, and that's what it means to be right with God positionally. But now, wait a minute. There also is a rightness with God that is conditionally. This too, the condition of man must likewise be right with God. Now, how can this be? Don't turn to it because of time, but let me read you this. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, what does it mean? It means that on Calvary, we thought a while ago about it, on Calvary, Jesus shed His blood to make us right, or righteous, or just with God positionally. And tonight, judicially and positionally, my sins are not recorded in heaven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute unrighteousness or sin. God refuses to write down in heaven, as far as my condition is concerned, He refuses to write down on one of my sins. But now, wait a minute. There is a condition with God. My relationship with God. Not just my standing. My relationship with God. It says here, we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. And the word cleanseth there is in the linear in the Greek, or durative, which means His blood keeps on cleansing us from all sin. That means when you got saved, your sins were cleansed positionally. But now, as far as your fellowship with Him is concerned, you must be cleansed and conditionally. And the same blood, hear me now, the same blood that washed your sins away positionally on Calvary, that same blood will allow you to have your sins forgiven when you come to God as a Christian. Now, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, look, let me read you verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, listen. In verse 7 it said, His blood cleanses. Okay, if His blood cleanses, what then lets that blood become valid, or what makes it valid for me? My confessing my sins to God. His blood keeps on cleansing my sin. But it says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does He cleanse us? By His blood. What causes that blood to be valid for me? My confessing my sin. Now listen carefully. You are as right with God as you are confessed up. The only thing that will satisfy God is the blood. The only thing that satisfied God concerning your salvation is the blood. And your faith in Him. That's what it means, Romans 4, 5. To him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What it means is this. His faith is counted for making him right with God. Now that same blood that made you positionally right with God makes you conditionally right with God. And what is it then that brings about the efficacy of that blood? Your confession. You're confessing your sins. So being right with God means that it's balanced. Look at me now. Listen carefully. It means that it's balanced. Be righteous with God. Be justice with God. Have the scales balanced. How then are the scales balanced? The scales are balanced when you by faith put your trust in Christ as far as your position is concerned. But the scales are balanced when you confess your sin as far as your condition is concerned. So the blood applied to you by your faith saves you. The blood applied to you by your confession sanctifies you. Oh, that's good. So, you're as right with God as you're confessed up. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary is of no value whatsoever to you unless you have your faith in it for salvation. And it is of no value to you as far as your fellowship with God's concerned unless you're confessed up. For if he confess our sins, he cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. How does he cleanse us? It says in 1 John 1:7, his blood cleanseth us from all sin. So the blood cleanses, your confession makes the blood valid, just as your faith made the blood valid for your position with God. Even so, your confessing of your sin makes valid the blood that was shed for your condition with God. The people in this room tonight haven't confessed a sin since Noah's Ark. It's beneath you to walk to the altar. That's for a bunch of retarded college kids. That's for a bunch of weak people that drink. And this poor, no. You listen to me. You are as right with God as you're confessed up. Because your confession causes the blood to be applied to your condition with God, like your faith causes the blood to be applied with your position with God. Don't you see that? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Keeps on. Then what causes that blood to be valid? If we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So to whatever degree you have confessed your sins and you're confessed up, to that degree you're right with God. Because the scale's balanced. Now follow me. There are sins of commission or commission and sins of omission. Here's the scale. I'm not talking about your soul and your salvation. I'm talking about your fellowship with God. Here's the scale. You go to a dirty movie, and all of them are dirty. Even Walt Disney movies are dirty. The whole Hollywood cesspool is dirty. And the communist and humanistic philosophy is in all of it. All the Hollywood cesspool. So you go to a movie, dirty movie. That's any of them. Whether you go to them or bring them to your house. All right, what's happened? There's an imbalance. What do you do? Get on your knees and confess it and ask God to forgive you. What does it do? That same blood that made you positionally right with God now makes you conditionally right with God. You lose your temper, say a dirty word, profane the name of God, have a filthy mouth. All of a sudden the scale is not balanced. How can you balance the scale? Come to the altar. Get on your knees somewhere. Confess your sin. Make it right with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from sin. It doesn't mean you'll never sin again. It means that God forgives your sin and makes your fellowship restored with Him. Why? Because you trust the same blood for relationship with God that you trusted for your position in salvation with God. You don't pray. The scale is not balanced. You come to God and confess that sin. You confess that sin, that same blood that saved you and made you positionally just with God, right with God. That same blood causes you to be forgiven. And once again, the scale is balanced. You don't read your Bible. You confess it. The scale is balanced through the blood. You have bitterness in your heart. You confess it. The scale is balanced through the blood. Lose your temper unjustly, wrongly. The scale is balanced through the blood. Sing rock music. The scale can be balanced through the blood. Now listen, if you're not saved tonight, the scale's not balanced. But the wherewithal to have the scale balanced was shed 2,000 years ago on the cross. And you come tonight and you put your faith in that blood. That blood positionally makes you right with God. Now as a Christian, you sinned. You sinned. When you confess that sin, He cleanses that sin, 1 John 1:9, And it's the blood of Christ that cleanses that sin, 1 John 1:7. I'm asking you a question. What unconfessed sin do you have tonight? Huh? What is it? What is the unconfessed sin? Taking some wine? Drinking some beer? What is the unconfessed sin? Going to a dance? What is the unconfessed sin? Watching soap operas on television? What's the unconfessed sin? Watching the prime time godless stuff on TV? What's the unconfessed sin? Bitterness in your heart towards somebody? What's the unconfessed sin? Hatred? What's the unconfessed sin? Malice? What's the unconfessed sin? Covetousness? What's the unconfessed sin? Anger? What's the unconfessed sin? Cursing? What's the unconfessed sin? Movies? What's the unconfessed sin? Neglect the Bible? What's the unconfessed sin? Neglect to prayer? What's the unconfessed sin? Not winning souls? What's the unconfessed sin? Not living for others? What's the unconfessed sin? Selfishness? What's the unconfessed sin? What is it? You know what it is. That thing in your life tonight that you sin and you've not confessed it with God, you've not laid that thing bare with God, that means the scale is not balanced. Tonight, you confess that sin to God. And you, when you confess that sin to God, God takes that same blood that positionally balanced your scale as far as your judicial standing before God is concerned. God takes that same blood and God washes your sins and forgives your sins and balances the scale, because the same thing that faith did to make you positionally right with God, confession does to make you conditionally right with God. What's in your life tonight shouldn't be there. What is it? Get it out. Confess it. What is it? Cheating on a test? Confess it. What is it? Carelessness? Confess it. What is it? Rustling unholy skirts? Confess it. What is it? Unholy looks at the opposite sex? Confess it. What is it? Movies? Confess it. Let me say again. There are people tonight in this room who sinned more than others who are right with God. And people who sin less than others are not right with God. Because the rightness with God depends on the confession, because the confession is what makes the blood of Christ valid and applicable for our relationship with God. Just as your faith in Christ is what turned the faucet of the blood of Jesus loose to wash your sins away as far as your record in heaven is concerned, your confession of your sin, not to a priest, not to a preacher, but to God, is what turns on the faucet of the blood of Christ to make you right with God as far as your condition and your relationship with God is concerned. What I'm preaching tonight is what's caused most of the false doctrine in America. People take the last thing I preached and apply it to the first thing I preached, and say you've got to quit sin to have your standing right with God. That's not true. By faith, you have your standing right with God. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't quit your sin. Doesn't mean you shouldn't confess your sin. Confessing your sin is to have your relationship right. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and following says that. It says, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It goes on to say we're not supposed to be yoked together with unrighteousness, or Belial, or darkness, or unbelievers. And then he says, come ye out from among them, saith the Lord. And then he says, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be as my children. You come to Christ to become his child by faith. Once you are his child, your relationship with him is determined by how much you walk with him and confess your sins and come out from among them if you're separate. So, yeah, I'm right with God, I'm going to heaven. You're right with God positionally, but you're not necessarily right with God conditionally. You're right with God conditionally when you confess your sin. Not enough of that going on. Confess it. You say, Brother Hiles, don't I have to forsake it? Ask God to forgive me? God knows when you confess it, you're on the way to forgiveness. And God sees you when you turn around and confess it. God says he's coming back. So God forgives you before you ask him to forgive you, because he knows you're going to. That's what the prodigal son's father did, ran out and met him. Didn't make him come all the way back. He knew he was going to come all the way back, so went out and met him. God runs out and meets you and you confess it. Admit your sin. God says he's going to confess it now. That means he's going to ask forgiveness. He's on his way back, and I'm going to come out there to meet him at the gate of confession before he gets on the road of asking forgiveness. So are you right with God? You're as right with God as you're confessed up. Now the blood is what makes you right. Only the blood balances the scales. I'm finished with this. Only the blood balances the scales. The blood, as far as your standing with God is concerned, balances the scales when you put your faith in Christ. As far as your relationship with God is concerned, the blood balances the scales when you confess your sins. Father, bless the message. May there be a heap of confession tonight, not to each other, but to you.